Tonight, everybody, we are in the middle of a series called In Real Life. Each week during this series, we're confronting an area of life that confronts us in our everyday existence. And we've been talking about all kinds of stuff from our relationships and our marriages. We're going to be talking about our finances and our jobs. But today, we are tackling such an important topic. It trips us up. It gets us in trouble. It permeates our society. It brings a lot of confusion and pain. We're talking today about how we consider our physical selves, our bodies, our looks, our shape, our size, our fitness, our strength, all the ways that the concepts surrounding that speak to us and guide us, and their relationship to our identity, our sense of value and self-worth. Now, since we're going to be talking about physical fitness and wellness this morning, I thought it'd be good to start with some stretching. So reach down and touch your neighbor's toes. Can you do that this morning? I don't know. That might not be a good idea. There might be some boundary issues there that might want to ask permission first. But many of us, especially at the beginning of the year, right? It's almost cliche. We have fitness goals. We might even make fitness resolutions. But for many of us, the stewardship of our bodies is a challenge. How do we think about this concept, and how do we let it, you know, what worldview do we adopt? What is the proper perspective, biblically speaking, on our physical health, our fitness, and our well-being? So we're going to look at three things this morning in our time together. We're going to look at how we see and evaluate ourselves. We're going to examine how we define fitness and health and strength and how we should be living in and using our bodies. So those are the things we're going to be looking at. And I want to begin with how we see and examine or evaluate, rather, ourselves. The first truth we're going to tackle is this one. The mirror. And you'll see that there are mirrors throughout the auditorium this morning. We'll talk more about that in a minute. The mirror tells only a partial and temporary truth. So we must look deeper. How we see ourselves guides so much of how we live our lives, how we feel about life and ourselves, how we value ourselves. And so what we see when we look in the mirror is hugely important to our everyday real lives. We can be very concerned about our outside, but God cares about our inside. God lets us know this very clearly in a classic story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Let me give you some background. The nation of Israel's first king was a guy named Saul. Saul disobeyed God and was taking the nation in a wrong direction. God tells the prophet Samuel that he has a new king in mind and that Samuel should head over to Jesse's house and anoint one of Jesse's sons as the next king. So Samuel does this. He goes, and Jesse brings out a bunch of his boys, and Samuel sees this oldest son. His name's Eliab, and because he's tall, because he's strong, because he's handsome, Samuel immediately thinks, ah, this is the guy. God's got good taste. That guy looks like a king. He must be the one. And the Lord says something to Samuel that you and I would do well to pay attention to. He lays down an everlasting principle. He says to Samuel first, hey, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed by this guy's looks or his stature. I've already eliminated him. He's not the one. And then he says this. Check this out. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, that could not be any more clear, right? The Lord does not see things the way we see them. The Lord does not pay attention to or prioritize the things that we pay attention to and prioritize. We get enamored with the outward appearance, but the Lord sees through all that and looks at the heart. Now, what does God know that we need to know? See, our society tells us that image is everything. And too many times we end up believing that lie. If we can just look good on the outside, then we'll feel better inside. Sometimes people may let the Snapchat filter or even the plastic surgeon's scalpel be their method of self-worth or personal renewal, their method of achieving high self-worth. And we sometimes make the mistake Samuel made a few thousand years ago. We'll see people who are genetically blessed with what our culture has decided are good looks, and then we think they have virtue simply because they might have culturally good looks, or we even want to be like them. See, our society idolizes, nearly worships the image of the perfect male or female physique. And that can leave the rest of us feeling somehow inadequate, less than valuable, or worthwhile. We're not seeing things as God would have us see them. Billions of dollars, in fact, I looked it up, $16.5 billion in 2018, and the figure goes up every year, are spent in America on plastic surgery. People young and old suffer from anorexia or bulimia or experience depression or terribly low self-esteem, all because they compare themselves to some ridiculous ideal and then feel they come up short. We are experiencing an epidemic, and it starts right here at the mirror, right here in what we think when we, in that moment that most of us face at least once a day, look at your neighbor and say, I can tell you looked in the mirror this morning. Thank you. Right? Okay. It happens at least once a day. We look in the mirror and something happens in our heart and mind. We think something. What we think in that moment when we look in that mirror will say a lot about how we're living our lives, what we're experiencing, how we're evaluating ourselves, and how we move through the rest of our real life day. It's sad that really good people can be made to feel so badly simply because of the way they look or the way they think they look. Hey, I'll confess on this one. I do not like to see myself in photographs, right? Like, I never, every time, and Tamara will tell you, I'll cringe. I'll see a photograph of myself, I'll cringe. Last week, we watched a video about our prepared campaign, and I was on the screen. You might as well have been shoving bamboo shoots underneath my fingernails, okay? I mean, it just, I hate it. I hate experiencing that. But that's a problem, right? I mean, I should be able to accept that. I should be able to accept who I am or what I look like or whatever. But I just don't like to see myself in a photograph. And sometimes you may feel the same way, or you may feel like that when you look in the mirror. People grow up perhaps being made fun of because they don't look like everyone else. It's in our human nature, and the Bible says it's true. We get enamored with the outside appearance. God only truly sees the heart, the real you. And as Christians who are growing in our faith day to day, in every area, including this one, we want to be people who are continually seeing things the way God sees them and less the way only we see them. Isn't that true? True for ourselves in the mirror. It's true for others. We want to see others as God sees them. We want to see this world the way God sees it. Now, perhaps, this is a complicated issue. Perhaps it would be a good idea if I lost some weight. But is that who I am? Is that who you are? Perhaps we're in great shape or we're attractive by this culture's standards. But is that who you are? Perhaps you're sick, physically challenged. Perhaps you're still young, or perhaps you're like the rest of us, not so young anymore, or somewhere in between. But is any of that who you are? It's so easy for us to begin to think that what we look like on the outside is who we are. But it's not. It's simply not. We must look more deeply. We are not what we look like. The mirror tells only a partial and temporary truth. When I look in the mirror, I need to at least remember that's not me. Not really. Certainly not fully. It does not tell the full story by any stretch. Romans chapter 12, you might be familiar with these words, but they are definitely worth sharing in this moment. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is there any area in our society that is more of a pattern that is more of a cookie cutter, that is more of a predictable mold than this idea of how we should consider our own physical looks? Is there any area that doesn't churn out the same old thing all the time, reinforcing a certain stereotype or idea that almost no one can live up to? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, is what one paraphrase of that passage says. When our minds are transformed, it says we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, how He sees the world, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That when my mind is renewed, I will not be stuck simply evaluating myself based on what I see here, because I know that every one of us is so much more. It's a partial and temporary truth that the mirror tells us. We got to ask ourselves, who or what tells me who I am? From where do I get that information? What source have I decided is the authority that tells me who I am and what I'm worth? Don't let it be the mirror. Very partial, extremely temporary truth is reflected back at us each day. Imagine what we look like to God. Past the clothes, the warts, the wrinkles, past the hair or lack of hair, right? He is oblivious to it all. Like someone with X-ray vision, we are to Him eternal, supernatural, spiritual beings walking around on this earth, carrying His light, living for and with Him. He sees so much more than just blood and bone when He sees you and me. Take a moment to think of someone you'd love to be like, to emulate. Did you consider their looks, or was it their character that brought them to mind? What do people see when they see you or me? And more importantly, what does God see? Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with wanting to look nice or be in good shape and healthy. In fact, we'll talk about that in a moment. But when our value and our self-worth begins to be tied up in the way we look, that is unhealthy, to say the least, and life can get really ugly really fast. So don't fall for it. Brothers and sisters, I'm just here to tell you this morning, God loves you. And who you are is far more than your physicality, which is a fragile and temporary thing. The mirror tells a partial and temporary truth. Look deeper. That's our first point. And if there's a point that I would elevate above all, everything we say, it would be this one. That if you were to carry one thing we say this morning out of here, it would be that next time you look in the mirror, look deeper. Be reminded that what you're seeing is just the outside, and it is a tiny part of the whole story. It's the cover of the book, not the real story. Amen? Just remind yourself of that next time you look in the mirror. But there are two other things that I think are good to talk about while we're on this topic this morning. And the second one is this: how we define what is true fitness or health or true strength. The point I want to make is this one. Getting in good shape means ultimately looking more and more like Jesus. That the kind of shape I want to be in and the kind of shape that's going to count in every area of my life is going to be the kind of shape I'm in spiritually. And that if I'm pursuing others without while I'm neglecting that, then I'm going to come up and everyone around me is going to come up very short on that deal. We have to improve ourselves in the way that truly matters. Because think about it like this. Your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, that is who you are. And you live from there every day. It's from there in your mind and heart, your soul and spirit, that you are making your decisions, that you are evaluating the world. It's from the overflow of that heart that your mouth speaks, Jesus said. And everyone around you is ultimately dealing not with your outside, but with who you are on the inside. Your coworkers, your neighbors, your kids, your parents, your friends, your spouse, they're all dealing with you as the you that is on the inside you, and it's the inside you that lives forever. I want to bring us to these words that the Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege, Timothy. gives some real insight as to what we're talking about here. He says, he gives them this advice. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And by contrast, then, what he's saying is that physical training, taking care of yourself physically, or we might call it working out, watching what you eat, all that good stuff, perfectly wise things to do. He says it's of some value, but it is, by contrast here, of temporary value. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to figure out, I can't stop getting older, right? My body is not the body it was in my 20s. That I'm gonna turn 50 this year. That is crazy to me. And I am going, wow, yeah, I know. You're like, I thought that already happened. Yeah. So you guys are awake this morning. That's good. Now, back to the verse though. Notice that this verse does not negate the need for exercise, rather, it says that though exercise is valuable, it prioritizes physical fitness correctly by saying that godliness is of greater value. That godliness, Christ-likeness, growing spiritually is going to be the thing that counts in the long run and in every real way that matters. Paul often uses athletic terminology to teach us spiritual truth, showing that the first is an expression of the deeper meaning of the second. And that's because we are both physical and spiritual beings. While the spiritual aspect of our being is far more important, we are to neglect neither the spiritual nor the physical aspects of our health. But we have to be clear on which lasts longer, which matters most. Think of it like this. We say this a lot around here. We are spirits wrapped in flesh, aren't we? I like to think of it as we are soul burritos. We are soul burritos, right? We are souls wrapped in flesh. Who you are is ultimately a spiritual being. The body you live in is the vehicle you've been assigned to do the work, to be the person, to share the love that you are uniquely designed to do in this world. The difference to make, the love to share, that is yours. And you do it in the vehicle of this body, but you are ultimately an eternal spiritual being. So when we're training ourselves to be godly, it means we're paying attention to who we are, who we're becoming, what is true of us on the inside, a truth deeper, a truth past what the mirror says, recognizing that who we really are, not told by what we see there. So getting in good shape, this idea that we want to improve ourselves, which is a valuable thing to want to do, getting in good shape means looking more and more like Jesus. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, if you want to have a great marriage, the first thing you want to do is to follow God with all your heart. And when both of you begin to do simply that individually, so many other things start to fall in line and get aligned. And as you are moving closer and closer to God, you'll also find you're moving closer and closer to each other. That's not true of only marriage. When you train yourself to be godly, the number of wise decisions that you leave in your wake only increase. And the compound interest of those wise decisions over time is what creates a healthy life. That's what God has got in mind for each of us. When Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I believe that not only is he talking about a life that lasts forever in heaven, he's talking about a life that I just described. A life that when we begin to adopt his teachings, when we begin to pay attention to what it is he had to say and apply it in our lives, we don't have to, and it doesn't mean that you become some sort of a Bible scholar or holier-than-thou person or some super churchy religious person that no one wants to be around. It means that you're paying attention to what your rabbi, your Lord, your teacher, Jesus has said. And you begin to simply do your best to understand and then live out each thing that he says. And when that happens, I have found one decision at a time, over time, begins to create, like I said, it's like compound interest. You make fewer and fewer dumb decisions. Doesn't that sound good? And you make more and more wise decisions. Those wise decisions might even be stuff like what you eat or how you handle this body you've been given. And you might even experience a lot of positive things in that area as well, but only because you're making wise, self-disciplined decisions, not because you're buying into the lies of the world that tell you you are what you look like. Totally different perspective and totally different motivation. And that really leads us to this third point that I want to tackle before we wrap up this morning, and that is that we must learn how to steward these bodies that we've been given. That the body is not to be rejected. It's not bad. That what we do with our bodies reflects who we are and who we are becoming. In Psalm 139, it says this, "For you, speaking to the Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. If I am your work, Lord, if I am your idea, if you decided that I should exist, and you knit me together, and here I am, here I sit, here I stand, then I'm going to declare and put my faith in the idea that you, Lord, know what you're doing. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And if I'm your work, then I must be wonderful." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I am so wonderful." Now, we know that in one sense, our bodies are frail. And for many, they are far from perfect. You may have inherited traits that are physical challenges to you. I have high cholesterol no matter how well I eat. I inherited that. I'm not going to be able to do anything about it other than take the medicine the doctor prescribes to me. We live in a fallen world of sickness and disease. Our bodies can be injured. Life can be snuffed out in an instant. And for each of us, one day, someday, our bodies will give out on us and life on earth will end. So nothing I'm talking about this morning is meant to negate those realities or present a false hope that sometimes some misguided preachers can, that following Christ ensures great physical health in every way. Nevertheless, we are wise to be reminded that we are stewards of our physical bodies and we should care for them just as we care for our souls, that physical health and fitness is far from our highest aim, but it is a wise and worthy aim if our priorities are in line. We're foolish to ignore that priority. It's only to our own detriment that we do. The fact is, we've been assigned this body that we have, each of us, and the question still exists, what will we do with it? And when we begin to understand our why, this is why it's so important that each of us as disciples of Jesus is pursuing the calling that he has on each of our lives. And I believe he does. I believe there's not a person in this room that God does not have an idea for why he designed you and what he wants you to do in this world, the difference he wants you to make, the unique way that you show his love to others. You can call that ministry, you can call that service, you can call that a calling. All those things are accurate. And every one of us has such a ministry for us. But chances are really good, your ability to do that ministry is going to be partly reliant on the idea that you're still alive. Did you know that? That you're living, and that maybe that you're someone who is active, you're walking around, and you're doing what needs to be done, whatever that is. You're wheeling around, you're walking around, you're making yourself known. You have health, you have energy in yourself. Because here are the brutal facts: I can't preach to you if I'm dead or sick in bed. Now, someday we will die. Someday we may be ill. Those things will probably happen. Probably was a joke, but We should do what we can, though, to prevent and prolong, to prevent those things and prolong our effectiveness. In other words, when I know my why and when you know your why, then we begin to realize, oh, I want to stay physically healthy so I can keep achieving my why, my reason, my calling. And then your motivation is in the right place. You look in the mirror and you realize, hey, that's not all me, but I want to remain as healthy as I'm able to because I've got work to do in this world. I've got people to love, maybe even people who are counting on me. So I am wise to take care of myself. When we reach that conclusion, we are saying, I am a steward, not a servant of my body, but I will take care of it. There's a passage I want to turn our attention to when it comes to this point. It reminds us that our bodies are not in charge, and the appetites of our bodies are not our core drivers, but instead, we're in charge, and we're stewards of our bodies. In the passage I'm going to point us to, Paul is actually speaking about sexual immorality, but he's also providing a theology of the body. And it's one that's pertinent and useful to our discussion this morning. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's quoting what some people might say. Hey, I have the right to do anything, he says. And then he turns and says, you say that, but not everything's beneficial. Meaning, hey, I have the right to eat that whole chocolate cake if I feel like it, but not everything is beneficial, or that whole pizza. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything, Paul says. You say food for the stomach and the stomach for food, and God will destroy them both. Meaning, what's the big deal? Whatever I do with this body, it's all temporary and it's all going to go away, and it doesn't really matter. But he's reminding us that everything for us as believers in Jesus is spiritual. He lets them know that the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That our bodies are meant not for wrong, but for right. Our bodies are meant not for sin, but for righteousness. Our bodies are meant not for foolishness, but for wisdom. Not for ourselves, but indeed for the Lord. Our bodies, he says, are meant for the Lord. So come on, Christians, don't fall for it. We've got better truth to feed on. We've got a higher reality to live into when it comes to how we consider or even how we treat our physical bodies, how we handle ourselves. He goes on to talk about the spiritual impact of what we do with our bodies, and then he says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. This is a proper theology of the body. For those of us who've said yes to Jesus, now we begin to realize what we've been given here is a tool to use to do good in the world, and that it is a holy thing. Because we have now become, the Bible makes it clear, God does not live in temples built by human hands. Now he lives in you and in me. There's a foundational truth here. Honor God with your body, because that's where God has chosen to live. These bodies came from him. So what we do with our bodies reflects who we are and who we are becoming. We have work to do and kids to raise and differences to make. And I believe it is irresponsible, if not irreverent, to not take that seriously, by taking care of the vehicle by which such work is done. And if our character is revealed by our choices, then we need to watch our witness when it comes to how we handle our bodies. If we're not treating our bodies well, with respect and with dignity, then are we recognizing that they are temples of the Holy Spirit? They are the place where God has chosen to dwell. Every time you and I make a decision to live well, we are bringing glory to God's creation, and we are expressing grateful stewardship. So what we do with our bodies reflects a lot about how we see the world and certainly how we see God in us. What we do with those bodies is a reflection of that. Getting in good shape means looking more and more like Jesus. That if we began to evaluate ourselves less on how we look and more on how we love, how we live with others, we'd start to see that being like Jesus, growing spiritually, man, that's the resolution worth making. That's the goal worth setting. And if like I said, if everything we said this morning kind of gets forgotten, here's one thing I hope we don't forget. That this mirror, it tells only a temporary and partial truth. We must look deeper. We must see ourselves as the souls that we are, as the spirits who've been rejuvenated and made alive by God's Holy Spirit, in that this is the outward wrap. This is the building in which God lives. This is the vehicle through which or by which that spirit gets to be and exist in this world, a spirit that will live and last forever. This is a truth worth sharing. Maybe you know someone who has a real problem right now in their life because of what they see in the mirror. That's one way that I believe that Jesus' love is so powerful. We can declare, remind them, declare to ourselves, declare to them just what we sang earlier. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am loved. And none of that has to do with my outside. It all has to do with what Jesus sees and died to save on my inside. Amen.